Now he joins us. Did you hear me? I wish you a happy birthday, Chris.
I did. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So
can y'all hear me now?
Yeah, we got you. So it's been a couple of days now. Has what happened over the weekend kind of sunk in now? You realize you're a winner in the major leagues?
Yeah, I think it's sunk in as much as it can. Still real. You know, I've been up here for 4 years or so. So just trying to soak it all in and spend time with my family.
Have you taken any mementos from that first start? Do they give you the ball? Do you have any plans for it?
Yeah. So I got the first out, the first strikeout, and the lineup card, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. So as a minor league guy, the long road, it was very circuitous for yourself.
Ooh.
What is
right?
So we talk a lot about demystifying the major leagues for guys who are just seeing it for the first time. Now that first start is out of the way and you know it was good and you got that in your back pocket, does that change things for you going forward?
No, it really doesn't. So, you know, I'm a very in-the-moment person. You know, I think of things, you know, right as they're happening. You know, I don't in the past or two. So I really try to keep, or do my best at least to keep a level head and execute the pitch and, you know, right in front of me. You know, I don't have anything else. You know, I can't control anything else. I don't have anything else to worry about other than the next pitch. So if it's going, that's when I'm doing that is when I'm trying to execute that very next.
Yeah.
I think if things change, then that's when you start messing with success a little bit.
It has to be just a little bit different, though, considering that, you know, you're coming in, there's all this attention now, right? Like, I think I saw ESPN write something up on you, and you were talking about just your phone blowing up and all the different interview requests. Like, just, I know that, like, pros and guys like yourself, you're creatures of routine, and now that's kind of been thrown into a little bit of a blender. Like, how does that change your approach?
Hopefully it really should, you know. Ideally, that's all this is, you know. While it's nice, it's cool to experience. It's all background noise, and when it's time to go, you know, get in the weight room or play catch or get off the mound and throw a side or to start in front of 45,000 people, that all goes away, and it's time to execute whatever work or whatever pitch I have to execute.
Are you prouder that you pitched that game, or that you didn't cry publicly when the 45,000 people were on the field? Honest to God, I don't know how. If that's me, I'm just like head down doing the cry, walking to the dugout. And you kept it together. I know you said you're emotional, but like, let's be honest here. Like, it's the not crying, right? That was big.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It was just a weird day. Like, I almost had until I saw my mom and dad and sister after the game. I really almost had no emotions. Like, I was really nervous on Friday night. I think I got that out of the way. And then on Saturday, I was a little bit anxious to get started. And then I just really had no emotions.
Yeah.
I gave a little bit of a negative emotion whenever I gave up that RBI single up the middle. But other than that, I mean, I held it together pretty well until I got off the field after we won the game and then saw my parents.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. I just know that when you do have an emotionally exhausting 24 hours or 48 hours that you would have had, that, yeah, when things do tend to get a little bit emotional, that's when it gets away from you a little bit, where you start to just basically get the spin.
Exactly.
So, yeah, good for you, man. I am curious, though, in terms of, you know, obviously it's been really well documented, your military career and your service that you spent. And I wonder how that, you know, impacts you going forward and how it impacts you just in general, knowing that, you know, you do carry that brand with you, that no matter what you do, you will always be representing kind of servicemen and that you're the first guy from West Point to start in the major leagues.
Right.
And I know that that's something that you obviously take pride in, but how does that affect you just in terms of knowing that, like, every single headline about you, that's just as tied in with your name?
Right. Well, you know, again, I don't think that's something that I really can fathom right now. You know, while logically I understand it, it's something that I think is a little bit over my head. And I think if I was able to fully comprehend it, that I would, I think I would feel a little bit more pressured. But it's something that I appreciate. I'm very proud of. But I'm fortunate enough to carry a brand that is much, much, much larger than myself. And it's something that, you know, maybe, you know, hopefully later in life that I'll be able to look back on and really, really be able to hang my hat on that. But right now, it's something I'm attempting to understand, and I, I don't think I really can, because you're talking about a service academy that was founded in 1802, and here we are in 2017, and I have somehow weaseled my way into being the first big leaguer to ever graduate from West Point. So, while I understand how momentous that is, it's I'm trying to, I guess, appreciate its magnitude, because it is something that is much larger than me.
Talking to Chris Rowley, Toronto Blue Jays starting pitcher, 1-0 in his big league career. Do you, it's just one start, and certainly it's going to be a storyline again in your second start, and maybe your third and your fourth and fifth, but like, do you hope to one day be just Chris Rowley, the starting pitcher in the major leagues, and that's part of your story? Because right now it's Chris Rowley, guy who went to West Point and missed 2 years because he was in the military. Like, at some point, it does get, I imagine, tiring that you're tied into that storyline so closely.
Right. Well, I mean, first off, clearly I need a new phone.
Yes, that is very obvious.
Birthday. You can't ask for a new phone. So I'm pretty sure they'll hook you up now.
But yeah, to answer your question, I think that the brand is something that I'll carry with me forever. I mean, no matter what. I mean, and I appreciate it. And I think it's part of me, and I'm proud to. At some point, I think it's fair to say that I would like to be. I'd like to get to the point where I get, maybe mentioned just as a baseball player. But I don't want that to, and I'm saying that not to escape the other part of me. The profession, obviously is very important to me, and it has shaped who I am. But it would be nice to, at some point get a Chris Rowley, major league pitcher, not feel good story, who made, To clarify, I do not want to be separate from that, but it would be nice, and I think that I have gotten respect for it, for what I've been able to do on the field. But it is nice whenever you get respect for just the on field stuff.
Chris, what's the biggest difference between Buffalo and Toronto, the International League and Major League Baseball? You haven't gone on a road trip yet, so I guess flying in a plane going to be different than riding on a bus. How about the spreads? Like, what's the biggest difference?
So far, I mean, just the noise. I mean, there's a lot of noise here. I've sat in on two games with 40 plus thousand people and electric. That's the biggest deal. Buffalo's obviously got a pretty big stadium for a minor league stadium, and the noise is just a huge difference. I think when Donaldson hit that ball off the third deck yesterday, that the place got really loud, and that was really nice.
Yeah, I would imagine that's pretty big. I'm curious too. You're a guy that's been overlooked a lot, and I know that doing some reading on you, what Gare Joyce has done a couple of profile pieces on you that are both excellent that people can go check out online. But yeah, you've been overlooked and you've been doubted a lot, and I can't help but think, again, I put it through my own eyes, and I'm maybe a bit more of a jerk than you, but maybe one of my first thoughts would be like, take that to a lot of people. Like, you're talking about your phone blowing up. Was there a part of you, like, chip on your shoulder wise that this was more proving a lot of doubters wrong than maybe even yourself?
Hey, the proving that the doubters wrong is definitely a source of motivation. I think it's a source of motivation for everyone, but especially I was a guy who and kind of rightfully so was overlooked in high school. I threw 85 miles an hour and I got two total scholarship offers. I got two. And went to college, and then there were 1,216 people drafted in the 2013 amateur drafts, and I wasn't one of them.
Yeah.
And, I know that number too. So, yeah, I mean, being doubted, that's definitely a part of motivation, I think, for everyone, and especially for me. And it's not so much to rub it in the faces of anyone. It's just I kind of enjoy being told that I can't do this thing and then doing it.
Yeah, I think I saw somewhere someone pegged you as, when they wrote a write-up on you, no major league value. So, I don't know. I just feel like that's the type of stuff that you'd be writing on your cleat.
Wasn't that Paul Quantrill or something?
Listen, that was a good name. So, just that was there.
So I want to clarify that, too. That quote, I think, has been a little bit misrepresented.
Okay.
So, I threw a bullpen in the Gulf Coast League, and Q was there. And he told me, he would tap me, he said, whatever the quote was about, you know, no big league value. And he said, but the follow-up to that, and when I originally gave the interview, I said the follow-up, is that he said, but, you know, I bet you 40% of guys currently pitching in the big leagues, was one of them, have been told that at some point in their career.
Yeah.
So the quote, I think, has been a little bit misrepresented. He meant it more as a, you know, while this is the write-up on, can clearly.
Hey, Chris, your phone has no value at all. Like, and I mean that.
Treat yourself on your birthday. Like, legitimately go out there.
There's no redeeming your phone. It's not like one day your phone could be great. Your phone is trash now and will be forever. So buy yourself a new phone. But I do really appreciate you spending some time with us. Thanks for this, Chris.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.